Well, last week we heard Peter's call to love deeply, strenuously even, and to practice hospitality. But deep welcome doesn't go very deep unless we plug people in also to serving with their God-given gifts. Our mission means being hospitable not just to others' presence, but to their gifts, to their unique strengths and God-given passions. Everyone has something to offer the body. And no one part should be ignored or should be blocked from using their gifts. And so we're up to the third P now in Peter's five practices here. Participation. Participation. The perfect word for a ministry's emphasis Sunday, I think. Though, all right, yes, we did plan that a little bit. But let's say our new memory verse again a moment, without looking. This is a harder one. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Let's also now hear the word of the Lord from Ephesians chapter 4. Here the Apostle Paul writes this. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you, Ephesians, to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all of the heavens, in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth on the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, back on spring break, Anna and I took the kids on a quick overnight trip to the Windy City, to Chicago. We had a great time marveling at all the skyscrapers and museums there and eating dinner in an Italian restaurant that even Julia, our exchange student from Italy, approved of. And though it's the last thing that I wanted to do, we also ducked into a few shops on Michigan Avenue that boasted of authentic gear, souvenirs, and novelties from the Windy City, from Chi-Town. Well, after the third one, we gave up because they all carried the same stuff. From one shop to the next, it was the exact same keychains and knickknacks, the exact same postcards and mugs, the exact same t-shirts with cheesy slogans and Al Capone shot glasses and cups and White Sox caps and such. It was all meant to look unique, of course, but when it came right down to it, it was all just mass-produced, generic kinds of stuff, like the cookie-cutter houses still going up in many suburbs. If you'd seen one, well, you'd seen them all. So how refreshingly different when we stepped outside and walked across the street then to the famous Cloud Gate at Millennium Park, to that great silver-mirrored artwork that Chicagoans simply call the Bean. We walked by it once in the morning and once again at night, but both times we were smitten at the kaleidoscope of colors, of skies and structures, of faces and fashions that we saw reflected from so many cultures. We even saw a proposal happen there, and everybody cheered, siblings and strangers alike. So what should the church be like then, according to Peter and Paul? What's a better picture of the church, the body of Christ, that diverse stream of life reflected in the Cloud Gate, or those generic souvenir shops? Well, the answer should be obvious, right? Because whether it's Peter's image of living stones built up into a spiritual temple, or Paul's image of many parts growing up together into one body, who is Christ? It's the variety, it's the diversity of God's people that helps to make us so strong. In fact, I want to teach you another P word just to prove it today. Are you ready for that? No? Well, too bad. We've had a lot of P words here in this series, but last week we learned a Greek one, philoxenia, the love of strangers, hospitality. But in our memory verse here today, Peter adds, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And the Greek word for various forms there is another powerful one. It's the word poikilos. Poikilos. Many colored, many textured, diverse and manifold in grace and form and gifts or appearance. Poikilos is a word off the street, a word from the marketplace, not from scholars in their studies. It's like when you go to a real marketplace in some foreign country and you're dazzled by all the sights and sounds, all the people and patterns, the colors and fabrics, the textures and tastes all around. You can't help but marvel at the creativity of all God's creatures, the organized chaos. But so it is with Christ, Paul says. In Christ, God has reconciled Jew and Gentile, male and female, servant and master in one body. He's taking people of every class, kind, and culture and building them into this beautiful mosaic in Jesus Christ. But why? To make known his manifold wisdom, his polu poikilos, Paul writes. Like the many facets of a diamond enhance its beauty, and like the many faces of a prism cast its one light into a myriad of colors, so the church takes the light of Christ, and in his many ways as members, we let him shine. Multiculturalism is not some lefty dogma, but a rich reality that God has blessed us with, says Neil Plantinga. God claims every kin and kingdom, every kind and kingdom in Christ. The real heresy is to reduce his kingdom to just the ones like us, or the ones we like. Now, the church's unity should never come at the cost of its rich and marvelous diversity. Because Christ has poured out his gifts on all with his Spirit at Pentecost. The banners up here display it well. Just look at all the colors and patterns, the textures and designs there. This project was based on 1 Corinthians 12, our bulletin saying. Paul's vision of a church of one body, many parts, a polu poikilos in Christ. And speaking of visions and dreams, did you know that the word poikilos is the very word used in the Greek Old Testament for Joseph's coat of many colors? God's vision has always been to wrap all nations as a royal robe around his son. The sin of racism threatens our unity, not only because of its blindness to equality, you see, but also because of its blindness to beauty. There's a myriad of gifts and graces in every culture, in every color. We can't reduce one another to sameness. We can't cut down the body of Christ into just arms or knees or knuckleheads like me. Now, the kingdom of God is more a mosaic. It's more a mosaic than a melting pot. The Belhar Confession said it really well this morning. We believe that the unity of the people of God must be manifested and active in a variety of ways. In that we love one another, that we experience, practice, and pursue community with one another. That we are obligated to give ourselves willingly and joyfully to be of benefit and blessing to one another. That we bear one another's burdens and also upbuild one another. It's a matter of good stewardship, of good economics. That's what Peter also says here in verse 10. Be good stewards of God's grace, good managers of God's gifts, God's charisma. And the word there, oikonomos, is where we get our word economy from. So what he's saying is that the church should share in a whole economy of gifts, of diverse gifts, and poikilos passions of each unique person, and not only programs. God is not glorified by a drab uniformity, but a diverse community in Christ. We're not an open space, or an open market, or an open people. You see, unless we welcome the gifts of every member, and unless we welcome the treasures of our neighbors also, their talents and their know-how. Each one of us must do our part, of course, but we also must make sure that we're actively welcoming the gifts of each other. That we're actively welcoming those treasures and not squandering or belittling the strengths of some. At our council retreat last fall, I remember we prayed into this area and we thought about it. We meditated on it for a while. There was one area that struck us as having room for improvement here at Neyland too. There's this sense that some gifts sometimes seem superior maybe to others. No, we'd never say that, of course, but sometimes our white-collar professions get praised while our blue-collar ones get a bit neglected and ignored. Consciously or unconsciously, we sometimes value what Peter calls those speaking gifts over the serving gifts in the church. One of my neighbors on my block left his church a while ago over some of the culture war issues, or so he said. But as I listened to his story, I sensed that his real betterness stemmed from being replaced in his area of ministry, of service. For almost 30 years, he'd made video recordings as a personal ministry to shut-ins and as a keepsake for baptism families and such. But the church didn't need that anymore, now that they had live stream texts. My other neighbor often complained about that school over there, that high school he had attended, where the college pressure had been immense. Even the guidance counselors had pushed him toward higher learning, though he told them that he loved the trades and he really wanted just to work with his hands. What school was that school? Well, it was Grand Rapids Christian, and it hurt to hear him talk that way about my old school with such bitterness, but it also hurt to know that it had made him feel second class. Though I hope and trust that's gotten better in the decades since he left. That kind of elitism has no place, though, in the body of Christ. We need to honor a wider range of gifts of heart and hands and not just heads. I wonder if some of our failure to fully reflect the poikilos of God isn't sometimes not just due to racism and sexism, but to subtle forms of discrimination, of class and jobs, and also of economics as well. But then that wouldn't be new. The church has done that for generations. Did you know that in the older translations of Ephesians 4, they put an extra comma here in verse 12 to distinguish the works of ministry from other kinds of service? To make sure no one thought that being a plumber could be as holy as being a priest. Christ gave some to be apostles, some to be pastors and teachers and so on, the KJV and the RSV said, to perfect the saints, comma, and to do the work of the ministry. As if they were the only ones building up the body, the church. But what a costly comma. For generations, that put the clergy up on a pedestal as if the ministry was all that mattered. And it left common people feeling like what? Well, like second-class citizens, of course. Thank heavens we've smartened up now, and so we now translate it in our NIVs to equip God's people for works of service so that all may be built up together. To be great like Jesus, the church has to serve with every member. We can't separate our church lives from our work lives either, our church service from community service. Life is ministry, friends. Love is service. And God's purpose in it all is to build us up in the faith and knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, till we all reach unity and maturity and not just an elite sum. We all have been blessed with a vast variety, a polu poikilos of gifts here in this church, but also beyond it in all our neighborhoods. And we have been blessed to take part in God's great plan to restore. With whatever gifts we've got, the greatest honor is to serve. In fact, when it comes right down to it, I think that Christians have worried far too much about which specific gifts we individually have instead of about being gifts to others. You are a gift, the New Testament says, with all your unique facets, all your God-given abilities and skills. God has made you a unique gift for others, so don't just use your gifts, go be a gift. Start serving others and you'll come to know what God's wired you for. If you look back at our soft goals, you'll notice that one of them is gift-based ministry. As we said throughout this journey, ministry with our neighbors is our goal. Not just ministry to or for them, but with them. Because sometimes the best gift we can give is to empower others to better use what they've got. Probably the most obvious feature of our First Peter text here is mutuality, though, and with the Belhar this morning. Love one another. Serve one another. Use whatever gift you have received to share God's grace with one another. And have the grace to let others serve you, too. So here's the challenge this week. Be a part. Participate this summer. Every one of us has gifts to share with others. We need loud talkers, but we need quiet listeners, too. We need people who speak the truth in love and people who let their actions also speak louder than words. People who plan and people who encourage and who affirm. Amy Zylstra is going to come back up here in a moment, and she's going to tell us about a new experiment we're going to try out called Neighbor Nights at Neyland. Neighbor Nights at Neyland. It's an experiment we'll try this summer with open households, a new way of doing church. And friends, there's a place for you in that. There's a part for you in that with whatever gifts the Lord has given you. First, join me now in a word of prayer here this morning. God, we thank you. We thank you that while you could have just done it all by yourself, you invite us to take part so that we in the process might grow. Thank you for working not only for us, but in us and through us, with us as a body, your church. Help us to do our part, to be open to all who would join. In Jesus' name we ask this, and for the sake of your kingdom, and God's people say together,